gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. What a show we have. Charlie Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
Of Esquire.com. Oh, you're never going to guess who they're speculating might still get into the Republican race. Charlie will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Brockovich on the big show today.
Yes.
Not Julia Roberts. Actually, Aaron Brockovich.
Yes, the environmental activist.
Yes, indeed. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Twitter. Check it out.
Yep.
Hey, we got some gold. Listen, kids, you got to help Mama get that. I just read Lady Gaga has 17 million Twitter followers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, people.
Well, if you...
Because I got to take her down for best tour. I'm up for best tour against Lady Gaga.
She tweets herself. I mean, she...
All right. For the new year, I'll start tweeting my
really?
Ass off. Sure. Every random straight brain fart that comes into my...
I'll believe that when I see it.
I'm gonna have the most Twitter followers of people playing, saying, "Please stop, please." We heard the story on the radio of you lighting your hole on fire. We don't need to hear any more about your private business.
People don't tweet their random thoughts, you know.
You don't read.
You don't go on Twitter, so you don't know what goes on.
No. Anyway. But I do need to thank our fans rock.
Yeah.
Our fans rock. We are number one comedy album in the country for the fifth day in a row, which
yep.
is unheard of, and we're in the top 100 for all albums. Also, there's not another comedy album, did you know that, in the top 200?
That's awesome.
Ever. And so we got up to 19 when we announced Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour Volume 1.
Yep.
And when we announced it Friday, we got up as high as 19, and then I don't understand. I've had to start doing a lot of blow off hookers' asses now that I'm a record.
A mogul. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it goes up and down. I was in the Apple store this weekend. I'm like, oh, 55, how did, let's go, people. Yeah.
You checked the iTunes charts from
yes.
the Apple store?
Yes. So obsessed now, as is our high-strung tour director, Roland.
Yeah, well,
okay.
He's always obsessed and high-strung.
You know, I forgot there's still live shows involved. Joanne from Boston. Hey, Steph, I have 2 front row scratch and sniff tickets. Oh, the good ones. To the June 9th Sexy Liberal Show in Boston. I've had them since early September. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
I'm a fan, but considering the predicament you might have trying to find a babysitter for Lisa that weekend in Boston. See, that's funny. That's a joke about my much younger girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'll let my partner fend for herself and babysit if you need me to. Think about it. We have time. Joanne in Boston. Isn't that sweet?
Huh.
Progressive Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome!
Awesome. All right. Thank you. And check out the whole schedule. We got Portland up first in January. Then we've got Philadelphia, Phoenix, Chicago, Albuquerque, Madison, Minneapolis, Boston, L.A., Seattle, all on the big schedule for two. All right.
Are
Hello,
you gonna
Jim.
Survive that call?
No.
Please.
I could barely survive 2011. If I was a betting person, I'd put some bets on when Mama's going to have her rose moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, okay.
If you start smelling burnt toast...
is that bad?
Yeah.
What is that a sign of?
It's a sign you're stroking out, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was when you smelled oranges.
Hmm. Burned orange.
I actually have oranges.
Or maybe
oranges
that's when you have the shining. I don't know.
I actually have oranges in my breakfast. So maybe
okay.
Or it could be that I have oranges. That
yeah,
could also
well,
be.
There you go.
Stroker oranges. Stroker oranges.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right. It's the actual citrus. All right. It is the holiday season. Best gift ever, Making Mama a number one comedy album. Please continue to buy from iTunes or Amazon. We're number one on Amazon
mm-hmm.
as well, because
yep.
it will make right wing head explode across
yes.
the country when we're... the number one album in the country.
And it makes a great gift.
Indeed. Because it's the holiday season, as Mike and Raleigh tells us, with Inagata de Manger. What? What? Sexy Liberal Heavy Metal Freak Hal Sparks tomorrow.
It's not heavy metal.
No?
No.
What is it?
It's Inagata De Vita.
I know what it is.
It's long before
prog rock.
Sounds heavy metal.
Is it prog rock?
I don't think it was even prog rock.
No.
There was no
name
for
it. It's boy music. Doesn't matter what era. It's boy.
Hey, you did your time in classic rock.
Yeah.
Classic rock radio?
That's true.
You did.
I was rock rock, everybody.
Uh-huh. And that's when you came up with your Doobie Brothers joke.
They're not related, but they're Doobie Brothers.
Okay. How many rock and roll tickets have I given out in my lifetime?
I don't know.
Over music.
Nail in the post.
That's right, everybody. Got some tickets coming up. All right, so here's the other best thing. Can I have some holiday music, please?
Oh, sure.
Oh, Chris, you know this every year in Radioland.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing about the holiday season, Jim, mm-hmm. is the sucky fill-in host.
Yes.
Oh. As you know, I'm not very bright. I always get someone that's better than me to fill in, and then I in danger of losing my show. But most of these right-wing guys have such huge egos, they find the suckiest fill-in host ever.
I know.
Oh, it's even better. Look at I look at all the notes I wrote just from like listening yesterday to Mark Levin's fill-in host.
Well, wait a minute. Mark Levin sucks as it is. He got someone even suckier?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Mark Levin just like reads off. Doesn't he just read stuff?
Yeah, he reads entire articles.
I just
that's
read
his show.
The entire article.
It's in right my really in soothing voice. I just read for 3 hours in a really nasty voice.
Is Obama more of a communist or more of a Nazi?
Stephanie Miller, one of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
Oh, why, thank you. And Mark, don't forget to buy Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Volume 1 on iTunes, won't you?
Anyone who knows Stephanie
All right,
Miller.
That's enough. I'm sick of him. Anyway, so he had someone like Brian fill in yesterday. I don't know who it is.
Brian?
He's a San Francisco Morning Drive host, apparently.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Was there slide whistle involved?
Anyway, here. No, I didn't hear any of it on the fill in. Okay, so here's what I learned on fill in right wing radio yesterday.
Okay.
So, first of all, apparently you have to just suck up endlessly to the main host, which again, I, as you know, work with all people that A, hate me,
yep.
B, undermine me constantly. Really? Am I right?
From now on, we'll undermine. No more
I do not, like most people that apparently surround themselves with yes people, I could not work with people that are less supportive of me, that are any more treacherous and bastard-like. Right, Chris?
Oh, what's that sticking out of your back? It looks like a knife. I didn't think you could do that with a plastic knife.
You insult me while I'm here and
right.
behind my back.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently, when you fill in, you have to talk about. So anyway, he went. That's all I heard for 10 minutes is how great Mark Levin is.
Oh God.
And and he literally, here's the part I loved. He said, Mark is just so brilliant. He's such an innovative thinker that I actually take notes during his show.
Oh wow.
And I'm like,
oh my God, really?
My God.
What is your life like that you're taking notes
during the Mark Levin show?
Oh, that is good. Let me write that down. I mean, seriously,
liberals
you're a moron.
Are just like Nazis.
If you're taking notes during anyone's show, you're an idiot. But this guy, let me write that down. And plus, Mark Levin, as we mentioned, is just reading articles.
Right.
So you're writing down him. You're the stenographer.
You're taking for right. For an article that's already been written.
My point is,
you are an idiot.
Of the highest order. Anyway.
So it's like going to college, sitting in a class without a degree.
I mean, I love Randy Rhodes, the HOA, as you know. I listen to every day. I don't take notes.
No.
It's like getting the lecture notes and then copying them in your
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so here are the talking points in fill-in right-wing world radio.
Wow.
The Obamas, Jim, are apparently taking two planes to Hawaii.
And
you know why?
Is
because
that?
The Republicans are
John
morons.
Boner.
Because John Boner
screwed
is a
everybody's
moron.
Christmas vacation up.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a completely uncontrollable caucus. Yeah, so anyway, apparently he's just being fancy, having to...
Oh, two planes! Who does he think he is?
Have his wife and kids go first so they don't miss their holiday.
Oh, my God.
He has to stay behind because the Republicans are obstructionist asshats, like usual. Anyway, but that's the talking point. Two planes!
Oh, take my money!
Makes it sound like there's some sort of security demands around the president flying. Isn't he fancy? Oh, and then here's the other talking point. Hawaii, Jim, is really expensive.
Uh-huh.
And the Obamas are just rubbing it in your face how well they're doing.
Look at that,
in this He's
from
there!
Hawaii! That's his home state! He was born there!
Home for the holidays,
the liberals claim Hawaii is a state. It's not even connected!
You know, just
look, it's just out there in the
wing.
Middle of the water.
I swear to God, next year he should go to Kenya for Christmas.
Oh God,
just
I hope so.
With them. Going home to my birthplace for the holidays.
Like Kenya.
Psych, talking to you, Donald Trump. Wouldn't that be funny if he did that?
That'd be funny.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Hang on. Oh, a caller called. Okay. So the people.
So you were taking notes during this.
Mark Levin's fill-in.
Just like Brian takes notes during Mark Levin's show.
And I was hiking, and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta remember this when I get home. Hang on.
You're taking notes from the note taker.
I know.
The guy who read
that's
from
kind of meta.
Newspaper. Wow.
Clearly, my life is way more pathetic than his.
Like
even.
Lady from Shanghai.
Oh,
yeah. Lisa came home. I was like, I can't talk right now, honey. I gotta. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I gotta remember everything. Hang on. I'm scribbling furiously.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Okay. So, a caller goes, you know that thing you said, Brian, about Bernie Frank having man boobs? That was real funny. He's like, oh, thank you. And then the caller goes, but, you know, I think Chris Christie has him beat. Okay, wait for it.
Wait! You can't do this!
Wait, yeah. And then, literally, the right-wing host, Brian, he goes, oh, well, because you can tell it's all partisan.
Right.
You know, the fat chokes or whatever. He goes, oh, well, you know, Chris Christie, I think he wears it well. But he's 6,000 pounds! Barney Frank is not morbidly obese. Like, he just was like, he goes, well, wait for it. Here's the homophobic part. He goes, oh, well, he wears it well. You know, he looks like a retired, you know, NFL lineman, you know. Barney Frank looks like he likes to, you know, dress in put a dress on when no one's looking.
What I'm saying is he's a big mouth.
That's pretty rich from someone.
But you didn't know that.
That's pretty rich coming from someone who does morning drive in San Francisco.
Oh, fabulous.
No, he went out of his way to say, don't be a worm in the belly of the liberal beast here, but don't be fooled. We do a morning show. We laugh our asses off. It proves conservatives have a sense of humor.
No, it does not.
So you know when you have to say it, you know that probably it's not.
So they laugh their asses off at their own jokes?
Yes.
So that proves that...
Okay. Wait, I'm not done with the holiday fill-in sucky story. Hang on. I've got one more.
All right.
My whole show is going to be this guy's show. Okay. So after that guy called, he considered him a liberal because he made a Chris Christie joke. So he's like, listen, you liberals, go ahead and bring it on. You libs, go ahead. And I love talking to you. Go ahead and call. You know what? If you want to debate me on global warming, though, or anything, you know what? That's going to be tough for you. It's not going to go well for you. Because in my former life, I was a TV meteorologist.
He's a weatherman.
Like, you are a weatherman. Take that, climate scientist.
Over here in the map, you see some stuff happening.
I was a weatherman.
Really
just because you broadcast the weather on TV doesn't make you a climate scientist.
Oh, yikes. Yikes, yucky fill-in. We've been warned.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I won't be getting all science-y on you.
We should call him live on the air.
That'd be funny.
Okay, let's do it. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, you know I have kind of a soft spot for Rick Perry because we have a lot in common. A, we both perform drunk. And B, I tend to get things wrong.
Uh-oh.
Well, however, I'm not trying to be leader of the free world. It's just, it's almost getting nostalgic. He's just like jamming in a lot more oops moments before the his little campaign is over.
Is that what he's doing?
Yes, you heard he referred to Kim Jong-il as Kim Jong the Second.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
Oh, dear. Yes. This is first read in the Atlantic Wire. Perry's latest oops moment, Kim Jong the Second. Another week, another Rick Perry gaffe. Oh, Mike and Raleigh's busily redoing the Republican gaffe montage as we speak. This time concerning the big news item of the day, the death of Kim Jong-il. In an email statement regarding the death of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il, Rick Perry mistakenly referred to him as Kim Jong the Second. Actually, three times.
Maybe he thought
three times
the
on the website.
IL was actually the Roman numeral. That,
well, that's what he thought.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure. Oh, but who doesn't know the guy's name is Kim Jong-il?
What a dope.
Guess who else did that? George W. Bush. Speaking of dopey governors.
Our former fearless leader.
Yes. Yeah. I think he called him actually Kim Jong the Second. So that was even dumber. George W. Bush once referred to him as Kim Jong the Second.
Second.
All right. I read the funniest fun fact ever about Kim Jong-il yesterday.
Oh?
Yeah. We have a bunch of them today.
Yeah.
As you compiled, people have been doing the... but he was actually had a good sense of humor about his own shortness, Jim.
Oh.
He once said to someone, I'm smaller than a midget turd, aren't I?
Wow.
I'm smaller than a midget turd.
He made a little people and a poo joke, which makes me, you know...
Okay.
More enamored of him.
Passes for humor in North Korea.
Guess so.
His death yesterday made me revisit the Tumblr blog, Kim Jong-il Looking at Things.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a kind of a sister site of stuff on my cat.
Well, it's all part of Tumblr. Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
All right. We might as well do the other fun facts from Kim Jong-il, because I, you know, it's a lot of... it's a lot of stuff that you had forgotten, isn't it? There's a giant rainbow rabbits and double rainbows, the most insane delusions of Kim Jong-il, according to Gawker.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Number one, North Korean schools teach children that Kim Jong-il's birth was supernatural, that his arrival was accompanied by an apparition of a new star. The seasons then spontaneously changed from winter to spring, and a double rainbow appeared, followed by a talking iceberg.
A talking iceberg? Off the coast of North Korea?
Was it speaking Norwegian?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see the talking iceberg.
Or maybe North Korean school children receive acid in their lunches. That doesn't seem...
That's a bad kimchi.
Something. Number two, in 2006, Kim Jong-il learned a man in Germany breeds giant rabbits. He found them delightful and decided they were the key to solving North Korea's widespread hunger problem. Oh, dear.
Oh.
He got in touch with the guy in Berlin, the world's foremost breeder of giant rabbits. Kim paid for 12 rabbits, then told the guy the rabbits would be kept at a petting zoo in Pyongyang.
Oh.
And in a few months, he would be flown in to help actually set up a farm for breeding. About 5 or 6 months later, the guy got a call canceling the trip because...
they'd all been eaten.
Kim couldn't resist. He ate the giant rabbits to celebrate his birthday.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I mean... What a pig. Okay. I don't even think Kim Jong, or what do you call it, Chris Christie could ingest 12 giant rabbits, do you?
No.
At one birthday?
Not at once.
Or maybe Kim Jong-il's son. Maybe that's how he got so fat.
Oh, that's what it is. He left the leftovers for Kim.
There you
Kim Jong-il's son looks like he ate Chris Christie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We'll get to all that. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't be scared of Santa. He's big and fat and jolly and gives you presents.
You know,
maybe it's just Chris Christie.
Yeah, there you go.
Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
Chris Christie doesn't give you presents. He takes presents away.
He bounces, though, you know. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Didn't I ever tell you about Bumbles? Bumbles bounce!
Yeah, wahoo. Will in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hello.
Long time listener.
Thank you.
First time caller.
Thank you.
And I had to Google you because I wanted to know what you looked like because I've never seen you before. Oh. You are one fine woman.
Thank you, Will.
You know, I'm like, wow, let me Google, because most radio personalities, you know, like, they got dog face. They have a face for radio, like Rush Limbaugh,
yes,
Chris Christie, and the entire Republican Party.
That would be quite startling on a woman, Rush Limbaugh's face, wouldn't it? That'd be a that'd be a boner killer forever.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing before I go.
Yes.
The Republican Party has no one.
No, they don't.
And
it's hilarious.
No one that could beat Barack Obama in November.
I know. They're getting a little panic-stricken.
I beg to differ, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Seriously, did you see Sarah Palin's yesterday? It's not too late for somebody to get in. Some folks, somebody might get in.
Yeah, it's too late.
My dream might come true of getting to see her debate history with Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry.
Mm-hmm.
She could take him on Kim Jong the Second.
Oh,
because,
really?
Did you hear what she said? She said the, let's see. I love when major world events happen because it's a chance for Republicans to show how dopey they are.
Yeah.
God, why can't Herman Cain still be in the race? I love his thoughts. But she said she waited on the death of Kim Jong-un on the missile launch. She said it's a reminder that America must focus on being secure, which means energy independence. Now what are we going to do? Where are we're getting all that oil from North
Korea? We can no longer rely on that North Korean oil.
What?
That's,
what?
Okay. Right.
What the hell is she talking about?
She's a little confused.
Well, what else is new?
Well, the slogans sort of pass through her brain randomly. And
yeah.
Little fragments
I
of
see.
Them. And they collide.
And some get caught in her craw.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can I have some Sarah Palin music? In fact, I found this, and I just wanted Jim to read it as Sarah Palin again, because sometimes I miss the words, Alan. I actually, you know, as I've mentioned, it's hard for me to listen to her sound bites. Either on television or radio, because they tend to make me want to, you know, pour hot coffee in my... but just reading it sometimes, because you can picture her saying it. It's just it's like she's furiously filling out that blue book, Jim, mm-hmm. as you know. she said she was not yet prepared to endorse a candidate for the 2012 Republican nomination. She said, you know, my endorsement is going to be with sincerity and enthusiasm. I'm just not there yet with the field as it stands.
The field.
So she could have just said that, but here was then this, she said this whole thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is no need to endorse until that enthusiasm really is within my gut. And also, I believe that my endorsement and anybody else's really sometimes doesn't amount to hella beans. When you consider the independent thinking and the wisdom of the voters, they make up their own mind, and personal endorsement doesn't always, you know, help shape the race, so I don't put that kind of credence or credibility in my endorsement at all. But as soon as I feel that person who understands the fiscal crisis, especially that America faces and no has to do about it, then I will feel the enthusiasm and I will endorse, but I'm not ready yet. I honestly don't know yet, because I don't know if there's a candidate that exists in the field.
Wow.
Am I making that up? Am I making that up, or is that the whole answer?
Wow.
Is there a sentence?
Does she get paid statement? Per word on Fox? Or
I don't think there's a sentence in there.
Someone
at
actually
all.
Bothered to put some punctuation in there, but it
yeah.
You might as well give up.
Yeah. That poor transcript writer. Oh, my God.
I ran out of commas. I can't.
We have no more commas in the typeset.
Preposition police, pull over, please.
Yeah.
Jeez. Isn't that incredible?
No, my endorsement is going to be with sincerity and enthusiasm. I'm just not there yet with the field as it stands.
Oh, my God. I'm reading the whole thing, and I just thought, no, we got to read the whole thing on the... just the fact that the whole thing was quoted, and it's like sentences and sentences of nothing, of just nothing. She already said it. I'm not endorsing any. She's missing the enthusiasm.
Oh, dear.
As are most
people. There's no enthusiasm in the field.
Oh, boy. All right. let's go back to our Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong the second.
Yeah.
Kim Jong the two, as George W. Bush's friend Rick Perry would say. all right. The fun facts. Okay. Let's see. Oh, wow. Okay. We just got done with a giant rabbit story.
Yeah.
Number three, state tech folks claim Kim Jong-il does not produce urine or feces. Maybe he exploded to
not
death.
Anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore.
That's true now. Maybe that was why he was so full of when he was alive.
Sure. Oh, wow.
All right. By the way, I'm also sussed out in the right-wing world that they think liberals love Kim Jong-il for some reason.
Sure.
I'm going, I don't think any show in the world has mocked Kim Jong-il more than this
right.
one.
Right.
Number four, Kim Jong-un claimed to be the world's greatest golfer. I remember this one. In 1994, Pyongyang media reported that he shot a 38 under par on a regulation 18-hole golf course, including five holes in one.
Yeah. Oh, so nice.
Oh. Hooked it. Ruh-roh. Number five, as the World Festival of Youth and Students approached in 1989, Kim Jong-il had disabled residents removed from Pyongyang.
Oh,
if he were alive, he could be the front runner in the Republican primary right now. That would get cheered at a Republican debate.
Yeah!
Yay! The government also, this is tricky, the government also distributed pamphlets that touted a wonder drug that cures shortness. He then sent the short people who responded to a series of uninhabited islands in the hopes of ridding his nation of imperfect genes.
Yikes. Start with yourself.
Yeah.
Hello.
As you aforementioned.
It's your own damn fault.
As you are the aforementioned smaller than a midget's turd, as you said.
Get the really tall shoes.
That's what he did.
He did.
And that's what his pompadour was for.
He could have been in a mini-band, for God's sakes.
His pompadour was to make him look even taller.
Even
seriously, that's why he had it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just a little, a bunch of islands of tattoos. Just.
Oh, you pain.
That's very sad. Number six, this is preemptive. This could get him elected as sheriff in Arizona. He imprisoned relatives of convicts because he was convinced the stain of criminality persists for three generations.
Wow.
Somewhere, Sheriff Arpaio's going, hey.
Hey.
Hey, I like the way you think.
I don't think of that. Number seven, the leader had a fear of flying, so he had lobsters airlifted onto his armored train when he traveled. Oh, boy. He's kind of 1%, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kim Jong-il was...
Can't get enough of a lobster. I love a lobster.
And he drinks with that, of course.
Ragavulin.
And also, he was Hennessy's biggest single client in 1993 and 94, spending $850,000 a year on cognac.
That's the way I roll, baby.
Yeah. It's like the ditty of
Courvoisier. That's the Courvoisier.
And I got a lot of bring.
Like a lot of what?
A lot of bring.
Someone needs to clean the microphone off
and
now.
And my train have spinner on the wheels.
Train's all blinged out.
Yeah.
Get out!
Yeah, for good. Forever. Okay. Yep. In 1978, Kim Jong-un had a South Korean filmmaker kidnapped and held captive with his wife for 8 years, forcing the couple to produce propaganda movies for him. Wow. The couple eventually escaped during a location shoot in Austria.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You wait here. We're burning daylight. I'm just changing filters. Skedaddle.
Made that exact sound.
He later instructed his Ministry of Culture, I just love this part, to make more cartoons.
Yeah. I love that part, too. I love cartoons.
Forced animation. That is the worst of his crimes.
Although there's nothing
worse. The world does not need more crappy cartoons.
There is nothing worse than communist cartoons. Seriously. Oh, my God.
Chris Lavoie, 2011. All right. Well, now it's time for the fun facts from Meet North Korea's new leader, the 20-something with a nuclear arsenal.
Great.
According to Gawker.
Dad.
What could go wrong? And he was so well-raised. time to move right into fun facts. This is from Gawker. Time to meet the most powerful 20-something in the world, an enigmatic basketball fanatic and 4-star general with a bad case of fat cheeks and an itchy trigger finger.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Unlike most people his age, Kim Jong-un is definitely not on Facebook.
Oh.
Yeah, he probably would not have a lot of likes, right?
No. Although they may force you to like him.
Of course, his face would take up the whole
screen. South Korea would have defriended him after that little missile launch the other day.
Yeah. That's why Facebook made that new timeline picture, huge picture thing.
Yeah.
In order to fit Kim Jong-un's
his fat face.
Face in
there. And his itchy trigger finger in the same picture.
Absolutely.
Yep. Kim has been kept so tightly under wraps, he was enrolled at a Swiss boarding school under a fake identity that the world didn't really know what he looked like because he's fatty.
Yeah.
Until he was unveiled at a military parade last year, a newly minted 4-star general. Sure, that didn't have to do with his connections.
No.
He probably earned that.
He knew some people.
Kim Jong-un likes to pass the time playing basketball and video games. Oh, boy.
Basketball? Did they lower the hoop for him?
I'm sure they did.
Let me do this reverse layup.
Video game. He probably thinks he's playing war games. He probably thinks he's Matthew Broderick. He's old at it, really.
Shall we play a game?
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. Did it really go?
My bad.
His lunch is a real missile?
Oh, boy.
Yes, he likes to pass. This Gawker has a delightful profile on him. He likes to pass the time playing basketball and video games and launching sudden military strikes against South Korea.
Mm.
It's one of his hobbies.
Sure.
The coordinated bombardment of a South Korean island and the sinking of a South Korean warship last year, they believe he did that to prove his military prowess and cement his role as the great successor.
That's how he got the 4 stars.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a macho
as
thing.
A general, by having a submarine sink a South Korean boat.
He's playing like a real live battleship.
I sunk your battleship. Sunk your battleship.
7. No, I did. Seriously. No, you did sink my battleship. Former classmates told the Washington Post that he was obsessed with basketball, had a stash of expensive Nikes, and, quote, spent hours doing meticulous pencil drawings of Chicago Bulls superstar Michael Jordan. That's a Scotchbit gay, isn't it?
A little bit.
Who spends hours doing meticulous drawings of
Michael Jordan?
I don't know. And the final fun fact in Gawker's piece, he's fat. Kim Jong-un, like his father, is a serious chubster.
Well, his father was a serious chubster, too.
Kim Il-sung ate so much of that kind of caviar. He ate a lot of that kind of caviar.
Beluga.
Oh, beluga caviar.
Along with the lager.
Lager vuring. And the lobster.
All right, 45... Oh, I can't wait till this guy... He's got to start talking. He's a new character. Let's go. 46.
I want him to sound like Scott Evil.
We're just, you know what? That's what we're going to say he sounds like. It doesn't matter what he actually sounds like. Dad, you got to go and croak. I got to stop playing video games and drawing Michael Jordan.
On, when I shoot from downtown, it's worth 3 million points. Because I say so. I'm a 4-star general.
Yeah, check it out. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
R.E.M. is now D.O.A.
Yeah.
They broke up.
It is the, just like, D.O.A. just like Kim Jong the second.
Yes.
Yeah. Rick Perry. Durr! 51 minutes after the hour. If you've just woken up, Rick Perry's a bigger dump than he was yesterday.
Yep.
His website has been amended.
Oh, good, good. Glad
he called him Kim Jong the second 3 times. So I'm sure it was accidental.
God.
Oh, boy. 1-800-STEP-12.
I thought that was the Greek number 2, but
Greek
turns out
two.
It was...
All right. James in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oops.
Oops.
Hey, guys. I was just in Texas myself over this last weekend to watch my younger brother graduate from basic from the Air Force. And I went to the San Antonio airport, and first of all, I was surprised not to find that everyone sounded like Hank Hill. I just thought, but I went down there, and you know that the famous Barack Obama poster. Well, I know the spoof of Rick Perry where it says "Oops" on the bottom.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes.
And I wanted to post that up in the airport just for everybody coming in to see. I thought it would be hilarious.
Welcome to Texas. Yeah. Oops. All right, thanks, James. Oh, little dumber boy. Yeah. It's a little dumber boy. We'll have to play that again.
Yeah.
Just in honor of his latest gaffe.
As I was telling Kim Jong 11.
Sorry, I got it wrong. It's not the second. He's 11. He's like a good amplifier. You can turn him up to 11. Okay, Michael in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, guys.
Hi.
I was at town hall meeting for Joe Walsh, who's the 8th District Congressman of Illinois, and I'm sure you guys have seen him on
He is
YouTube.
A douche nozzle of the highest order.
Here is Maserati does 185.
I brought up something about, you know, the hyperbole and rhetoric in Washington and how can we trust anybody. So, you know, he kind of got, you know, a little bit like on a high horse of we all need to work together and all that kind of stuff. But his final words that he spent 5 minutes on, I'm going to finish with this, was just filled with hatred, fear, racism and, you know, fear of the government taking your money. One of his final comments was, you know, the average income for Hoffman Estates right now is about $21,000 and we're spending $37,000. But then he came and said, the government wants to take, of every $1 that person's making in Hoffman Estates, the government wants to take 50 to 60 cents on that. So watch out, you know.
What?
So, yeah, so I'm not sure. It's probably a fire kind of comment, but that's what all those comments were filled with is, you know, everybody wants to take what you've got. And,
well, he's often wrong on the facts, but that's why he has such a nice, sunny personality. That's probably what that's all about. And he's a nasty little piece of work.
And that's why he takes care of his children so well.
Uh-huh. Debbie Dead. And, oh, my God, am I saying that right? And Jeanette in Madison.
Hi, I'm calling because I wanted to make a comment about Kim Jong-un. You know how you say that he plays basketball, whatever, he likes basketball? Well, I want to tell you guys, I know I'm dousing the humor a little bit here, but that might not be such a bad thing because our quote-unquote dear leader, which I love very much, you guys get the irony of dear leader, likes basketball too. So maybe those two can shoot some hoops and figure some shit out. Some stuff
out. All right. Figure some stuff out. Some stuff there. All right. She dropped an S-bomb on me.
Oops.
All right, speaking of leaders, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Wait, get my freedom drop ready. Did you hear about this? Representative Phil Gingrey, he's the guy with the 70s porn mustache. Have you seen him?
Yes.
He's a Republican of Georgia. He, and a member of the House Tea Party Caucus, please and thank you. He said Republicans are rallying behind Speaker Boehner in the payroll tax cut stand-up, calling him William Wallace in their Braveheart moment.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take
You're kidding me.
Number one, things don't end well for William Wallace. Number two, Phil Gingrey suggested, contrary reports that the Tea Party wing is forcing Boehner's hand, his colleagues are actually rallying to defend the Speaker of the House. He said, out of 75 responses, there may have been one person that thought it was okay and that we would put the fight off until 2 months from now. Everyone else said, look, this is a Braveheart moment.
Wow.
You, Mr. Speaker, are our William Wallace. Let's rush to the fight.
Okay, then.
Oh, my God.
Wow, you can take their payroll tax cuts, but you can't take their...
Disemboweled by dwarves?
Expedited schedule for approval for a pipeline that'll ruin the environment, and also rich people get to keep more money. Okay, that's... Wow, that is quite a cause you're rallying behind Braveheart for... Okay, except rather than being painted blue, he's like would be painted orange, I assume.
Yeah.
Even more orange. John Boehner.
There's a disagreement between the two chambers. We sit down in a conference and resolve those differences.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I believe the House will do.
Mm.
They may take away my freedom, but they'll never take my bronzer or my bourbon.
Bourbon. I was going to say, or my bourbon. Yeah. See, now, Friday, I believe, what did he say? He said it's pretty clear that I and our members, I'm sorry, he had said they opposed the bill, but on Friday he called it a good idea and a victory.
Yeah.
A good deal and a victory.
I remember playing that soundbite.
And then he obviously, you know, got bitch slapped by his crazy Tea Party caucus, and then he said, we're against this.
That seems like a flip-flop.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Boehner.
What I was outlining was the fact that having the Keystone Pipeline in here was a success. But I raised concerns about the two-month process from the moment that I heard about it.
Well, that's what I meant by the success.
That's what I love.
Just the Keystone part. The rest of it sucks.
gave the Republicans everything they wanted. I mean, it just... By the way, what happens if the payroll tax cut is allowed to expire? According to several economic analysts, it would severely affect growth and job creation next year.
Yes.
Just what they're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce GDP growth by 0.5%, cost the economy 400,000 jobs, according to one economist. It would knock 1.5% off the first quarter growth next year. Extending the cut is likely to add between 750,000 and 1 million jobs, according to American Financial Services. The cut would pump $120 billion into U.S. households in 2012. So that's why they can't have that.
Because we want to make Obama a one-term president. If we have to burn the country to the ground to do it, so be it.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
As long as I'm in my fireproof terrarium, I won't mind.
Although he can't be accused of looking out for his own self-interest because he is against turtle tunnels.
Yeah.
So you have to give him some credit there.
Damn turtle tunnel.
He could be roadkill because of that.
I think you need teeth to say turtle tunnels.
He is our Braveheart. Pardon me?
Sorry, I got some lettuce stuck in my craw.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Better with organic cotton and wool bedding from NoFeathersPlease.com. Don't miss their free shipping event now through December 31st. Visit NoFeathersPlease.com for details.
Yay. Free shipping! Yay!
Whee! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Charlie Pierce coming up this hour. Aaron Brockovich, environmental activist, next hour.
Yep. And also Representative Karen Bass of California to talk about the fight over the payroll tax.
That's terrific, Bass. We always enjoy her. We can't help it. Every time we have her, we have to say that.
That's terrific, Bass.
Yeah.
She would like to talk about something substantive, you know.
Really?
Yes.
Her new Bass-O-Matic.
Stop it!
You should know better than a book serious guest vacation week. Why am I even here instead of having a sucky fill-in like Right Wing hosts do?
We do that. This is the first year that we haven't done that.
That's
how
you know I'm a radio geek. Because this is my favorite week of the year, listening to the sucky right-wing fill-in host.
Yeah.
They are so sucky.
Suckiest time of the year.
Oh, awesome. All right. And this being the speaking of the time of year, we must salute him one more time, the little dumber boy, Rick Perry, for calling Kim Jong-il Kim Jong the Second 3 times.
Oops.
On his website.
It's Rick Perry with a holiday message.
This all started when they came to me and said, you got a chance to be the big chief.
Our new king, you should be.
Head honcho, man in charge, top dog. Sounded good to me. But then again, I had a problem or two.
I can't remember.
Okay, the first one was, the second thing was, what was the third thing? Whoops. Then there was that thing with the rock.
I might not.
Man, that was a problem. That was really stupid, that one. Y'all have a happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa there.
Thank you. All right, and we will play Frothy the Santorum before the end of the week as well.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Speaking of dumb, come on, all our comedy dreams could come true. Sarah Palin, she was hinting around a little bit, wasn't she? She said it's not too late for someone to jump into the Republican race.
Yes, Sam.
She said, who knows what'll happen in the future. She said she felt no enthusiasm for anyone in the current Republican field.
So,
you too?
I mean, just have to jump into the
field. Yeah. She said
and then quit.
Mm-hmm. She said she needs to feel some enthusiasm, don't you know, before she endorses anybody, and she doesn't feel that yet.
Well, I don't think the country is feeling enthusiasm about her.
What kind? Is there any chance Herman Cain can get back? And so, at least for comedy purposes, for the Sexy Liberal Tour and otherwise, we could have Herman Cain, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, and Rick Perry debating foreign policy. Please, God.
Since Todd's not getting his snow machine show, I may as well jump into the film.
Exactly. I thought we were going to get a snow machine show, another reality show, but no.
Computer says no.
So now I need something to do. By the way, did somebody that knew George W. Bush really well, I've told you the story, that he really, really wanted to be baseball commissioner.
Right.
And he just ran for president because he didn't get that.
Really?
Baseball
Think how much better the world would be.
I've been riding my bikes with baseball cards and spokes for so long, that's what I really want to do.
It probably would have destroyed the game of baseball, but it's better than starting unnecessary wars.
Oh, rich kids, please save us from the likes of the George W. Bushes and Mitt Romneys. I got nothing else to do.
I think I just want to be a nuclear engineer. I went to college.
Please, can some network not please reconsider the snow machine show so that she doesn't have to run for president? Oh, boy. This is the this is what we were talking about. Do the... She was on with Eric Bolling on Fox News and asked about Kim Jong the Second.
Sure, as Republicans are wont to call him.
George W. actually called him Kim Jong the number two or something.
Yeah,
anyway, he asked Palin for some thoughts
number on two. See what I did there.
Oh, I miss him.
No, you don't.
Can't we do the holiday special, the It's a Wonderful Life thing with George W. Bush just for old time's sakes?
Do you have that, Jim?
You got it somewhere.
Written down somewhere. Mm. I did three versions of it.
In that awesome filing system that you have.
Yeah. Pads. Musty old pads.
I have some bits in my computer, but I can't access them because I need some new software to...
Sure. Okay.
It's
okay. Yeah. They're there.
Mm. It's a comedy of the arc of the lost comedy or something. We'll never be able to be found. It's gonna, all right. He asked. So Bowling asked Phelan for some thoughts on North Korea, and she began by asking for prayer for some united there on that peninsula. She has no clue where she's even. Those folks,
you know,
over
that
there.
Place over there. Place where you
united.
See Russia
near the Uzbeki Beki.
Yeah, at least she knew that Korea was a peninsula.
Yeah, well,
I'll give her
exactly.
That.
Low bar, low you bar know. On the Republican side. Sure.
Good job.
Sure, good
Yay.
Job. Nice
one
done.
Of those in Alaska.
For some united there on that peninsula. She okay. So his death in the missile recently fired. That's to impale, and this was a reminder to be wise in our foreign policy decision and take steps for America to be secure. And that comes back to energy independence.
What?
Huh? Listen, Jim, we're gonna have to stop getting all that oil from North Korea. Is her point?
That's why we need that pipeline there up there from Canada.
But
because that pipeline there goes right to North Korea, where we get most of our oil.
What the hell is she talking about?
To make sure we're not relying on other countries, she concluded America must make sure to continue...
Draw, baby, draw.
She concluded that America must be sure to continue sweeping our own porch.
What?
Huh? You know, her
I don't know.
Doltishness is just offensive.
We got to... That's because you're not a... You don't sweep your porch, mister. If Kim Jong-un is playing war games with the first day in office, Bowling argued, maybe it's time to get a tougher president. Yeah, she would have fired a missile back by now.
You know,
and Palin applied in the affirmative.
You know, Kim Jong-il fired a whole bunch of missiles when George W. Bush was president.
Mm. Oh, God. Meanwhile.
Come on, Typo Dong! Look out!
Typo Dongs. Yes.
All right.
That's some Typo Dong.
Wow, poor Michelle Bachmann. Poor bat. You know what?
Bless her heart.
There's Sarah Palin stealing her dopey Republican woman spotlight again. Bachmann issues doomsday warning to Tea Party activists. This is our last election. Huh?
What?
Oh, my goodness.
We are in the final days.
Yeah. Oh, God. Jehovah God's got to get involved now.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Uh-huh.
We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Oh, goodness. A little fear-mongering on the... A Tea Party call. Yeah, apparently they don't elect her. This is the
end of the Tea Party?
God will punish
the final days.
We're in the final days.
Oh, John. Oh, my Dad.
We're in the last days.
Golly.
I can't wait.
On a conference call. Somebody needs to do a new version of Imagine for her. In a conference call, she said she dreams of the day when Medicare will no longer be needed. Won't that be a magical time?
When everyone's dead after the rapture.
As president, she also said on the call, I'll get rid of every regulation that is within my power to eliminate.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. Huh?
Traffic signs gone.
Yeah.
She's... Figure it out. Go.
Just go when you feel like it. In fact, I'll have the brakes removed from all cars.
Yeah.
So they just go and go and go.
Who needs uninspected meat?
That's what this... Well, second we have President Bachmann, that was just car crashes everywhere. Just...
Have some botulism.
People puking.
Yeah, barfing in the streets. From uninspected meat and eggs.
Hey, yeah. Street lights are too regulating. Go! Go!
Be free.
She suggested the very existence of the country is on the line in 2012. This is our last election, she told the activists. Our last exit ramp.
Election.
Last exit
before the rapture. Everybody in.
Put on your rapture helmet.
Does that mean she's getting rid of exit ramps, too? Do I have to drive continuously on the freeways?
Yes.
You can never get off. You can get on. You can't ever. It's a country
off.
Where you can never get
it's
off.
Like, it's like freeway California.
Yes.
You can get on, but you can never leave.
I don't know about you. I don't want a country where we can never get off. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey. Well, that's, don't talk about her experience with Marcus. But
hey! All right.
Kaboom.
Miss Thing.
Miss Thing.
You John. Are.
Yeah.
Hello, Jim. We think that's how he addresses her. Hello, John in Chicago.
Stop. What's happening, baby?
What's up?
Hey, listen, first of all, love you. Love you. You guys love make you. My commute that much better. But here's the skinny on George Bush and the baseball commissioner thing.
Uh-huh.
In 2000, Vanity Fair ran a cover article about this very subject.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush will be baseball commissioner within the next 10 years.
Oh, boy.
The skinny was, is he? That's all he ever wanted to do. He convinced his dad's friends to let him have some, you know, 1/15th ownership in the Rangers because all he ever wanted to do was work in baseball. However,
yeah, I bet he spun on his back when his daddy told him he had to be president. He was crying, no, I want to be baseball
everybody,
guy.
Everybody who knows inside baseball on the Bush family knows that Barbara Bush is the one that really pulls the strings in that family.
Sure.
She's crazy, psycho, you know, mommy, dearest mommy.
Yikes.
So what she wanted, she was so mad that Bill Clinton had beat Poppy for a second term, she demanded George run for president just to beat him.
Oh,
because
wow.
Deb couldn't run because he had already been governor for 2 years.
Yikes.
Also thought maybe it would be better, because Florida was a swing state, to have Jeb in that position rather than Jeb run with no help in a swing state.
So she's behind stealing the election.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I never trusted that Quaker Oats guy. Look at his eye. Wow. I bet you George did throw a tantrum, don't you? But, Dad, what do I do? I'm down here on Ruggie having a grapey sucker. I want to be baseball guy.
Baseball guy.
Talking about him. I want to ride my bicycle.
Do you know how many years I've been collecting baseball cards and spokes on my bike? Sucking off. Okay.
All right. Do I get to blow stuff up?
Nobody's. All right, people aren't going to vote for me. You're going to have to steal it.
Who should I start a war with?
All right,
yeah, the only reason he did it so he could blow stuff up.
Got all these bombs. Got to use them.
Yeah.
It's cool plane stuff. All right. 18 to the.
And he could get his name embroidered on anything he wanted.
That was the closer.
Yeah.
Who gets a bigger plane? Baseball guy or president? President. Okay.
All right. I'll be president guy.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
For you didn't set it off.
No? You don't want this party started
dangerous.
Quickly?
Certainly not on the right.
Take it slow. Not on the right. Well, yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy. Happy holidays.
Hey, Mama. I had like an idea of a holiday miracle.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a couple days from now. My son goes, Daddy, you really do love me. You made me a delicious homemade beverage with a soda stream.
Aww. It's a magical sponsor mention.
That wasn't clunky at all.
Thank you, buddy. That was really ham-handed.
And I was just wondering, are you in the position to play Santa Claus and make that miracle come true?
Oh, I don't have any. We gave them away last week, honey.
No.
I'm sorry. You could go buy one, though, you cheap bastard.
Oh, damn. In that case, can I just give a reason to live? Can I just have Jim give me a K to the J, now with a U and an N?
K to the J to the U-N.
In the hizzy.
In the hizzy.
Out forever.
But no, I'm still here.
Yeah, okay. K all to the right. J to the U-N.
I get it. Oh,
not
I
the
see.
U-N. Yeah. Not United Nations.
No.
Kim Jong-un.
I'm the Un-Cola.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim in Atlanta. Hello, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Why do y'all always have to act like all the Republicans are just big old dummies? And what is it?
Oh, not all of them. Just several of the ones running for president this time, don't you think?
No. I mean, what has Obama done?
Oh, dear God.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I'll find that and I'll post it up on our website. I don't know.
Only dumb guys get to be head of the Harvard Law Review.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me just partial list. Save the economy from the Great Depression.
Repeal, don't ask, don't tell.
Rescued the auto industry.
Got us out of
Iraq. Killed Bin Laden. Got health care. Okay, well, that's just a partial list.
Equal pay for women.
Yes, don't ask, don't tell.
It's a work in progress because of the
awful economy George Bush left and two unpaid-for wars.
Yes. Oh, by the way, but, all Republicans, not dummies. For instance, Senator Richard Lugar, one of the few sane Republicans left.
I'm hopeful, maybe without basis, the House of Representatives will pass the bill the Senate passed, and they will do so tonight. Mm-hmm. Speaker Boehner is under enormous pressure. He's obviously gotten a lot of feedback.
Drunk.
From many Republicans who say we just simply don't like it. But I'm hopeful there are a majority of Republicans and Democrats today who will proceed, because it seems to me this is best for the country as well as for all the individuals who are affected.
All this pressure is going to drive me to drinking. I'm going to start driving a hot rod Lincoln.
Speaking of Republicans finally suddenly coming to their senses, and I'm sure it has nothing to do with them running against Elizabeth Warren, who is already kicking his ass.
Yeah.
His ass, which is clad, of course, in pink patent leather shorts. She's,
yes,
of course.
She's
puncturing that with her Manolo
Blahniks. It's a nice, shiny pink ass.
Mm. Who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
It's like a baboon ass.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
You know, you got to catch us pre-vacation week. You never know what's going to come out. We're tired. We're
I'm sure Charlie Pierce coming up is going to have some comments on that shiny pink
Elizabeth
ass.
Elizabeth Warren should refer to him as baboon ass.
Yes. Senator Scott Brown blasted
Senator
Boehner and House Republicans for jeopardizing the payroll tax cut and unemployment benefits, saying the House GOP stand is irresponsible and wrong. A two-month extension is a good deal when it means we avoid jeopardizing the livelihoods of millions of American families.
Wow.
The refusal to compromise now threatens to increase taxes on hardworking Americans and stop unemployment benefits for those out of work. We cannot allow rigid partisan ideology and unwillingness to compromise stand in the way of working together for the good of the American people. Richard or Elizabeth Warren actually cannot see his baboon ass because she's way out in front of him. But
yes.
So he's trying to sound all man of the people-y. He's getting back in his truck. All right, Representative Steve Womack from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Here we are once again punting the issues that affect America to the month of February. That's irresponsible, in my strongest opinion.
Yes, so you need to make average Americans pay more, because that would be irresponsible not to.
I think it should be extended for at least a
year.
Well,
Womack.
But that's not the reason Womack is saying that it shouldn't be two months.
Yeah. Tom Reed, Representative Republican of New York.
You got to be kidding me. There is no certainty in a two-month policy coming out of Washington, D.C.
This is the new talking, but, you know, we wouldn't have to do a two-month if you would just pass
exactly
a reasonable bill that
right
the majority of American people are
right
behind.
I don't like a two-month thing, but that's...
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
It's better than people, you know, getting a...
But the Republicans
are
being obstructionist.
There's no certainty for the job creators. There's no certainty for the job creators. We need certainty. It's such a musty old talking point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. By the way, this new study should show you everything you need to know. Income inequalities in America, it may be worse than it was in ancient Rome.
Oh!
This is what the, 99% movement has brought us. That the income inequality has increased so much in the U.S., it's now more unequal than countries like the Ivory Coast and Pakistan.
Wow.
But they did a study, a historical study. It's worse than it was in ancient Rome.
And that's one of the reasons Rome fell.
Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm sure you'll do fine. Just remember, Santa is a cheerful, jolly fellow who never calls a child dumbass.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's Tuesday, our favorite time. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
It's a very special holiday episode of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
Thank you, Charlie.
This is the one where Chris LaVoy gets tired of being the middle child and runs away from home.
He has that fantasy every morning.
You know what? I was just watching. Rick Perry was talking about his favorite movie. Spike Lee's Malcolm the Tenth.
Ladies and gentlemen, wee, wee, wee. It's just, you know, we don't talk.
I presume, by the way, that Jim Ward's Kim Jong-il will continue long past the real person's death.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Please. I've been doing Katharine Hepburn in the traffic copter for years, and there's no point in stopping. Charlie, we don't talk for a week, and Rick Perry has made his latest gaffe, Kim Jong II, and Newt Gingrich has said we should have judges arrested.
He's going to send the federal marshal. He's going to send Wyatt Earp to the Ninth Circuit and wherever that is, and round them all up.
Yeah.
Round them varmints up.
Yeah, yesterday we were picturing an episode of Cops with, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg trying to climb over the Capitol fence and them just, like, pulling her back down by her robe.
Yeah, without a shirt or something? Because that's, you know, in Cops, that's nobody wears a shirt. Have you noticed that? That's how you can tell the perp on Cops. He's the only guy not wearing a shirt.
She's stepping on Schlitz cans on her way.
Wow,
running,
somebody does watch MSNBC on the weekends.
Running across town to make sure he votes for Rick Scott before they arrest him.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Chris just handed me this, which is, it gets more and more festive.
Oh, breaking news.
Yes. Washington Post ABC News poll shows Ron Paul gaining steam in the race for the Republican nomination to his highest level yet, 15%. A lot of people are already talking now about a third-party candidacy that could doom, of course, the Republican Party, even more than the Republican Party has already doomed the Republican Party.
Well, I don't know. Rachel Maddow's been on this a little bit about this Americans elect thing, and will they get Jeb and then find some incredibly boring and non-Democrat Democrat like Evan Bayh to run with him, and then, you know, who will that really hurt? I still don't see it, but...
Well,
I mean,
that's what I was going to talk to you about, is you wrote a great piece about this week. This is how bad the Republican field is. You've got Sarah Palin hinting it's not too late to get in the race.
Wait a minute. Let's be honest here. She just got a $380,000 judgment against her up in Alaska. She needs the dough.
Yeah.
That's why all of a sudden you're hearing, well, I might be running again. Because I can suck some more money out of those suckers.
What judgment?
What was the judgment for?
It's an ethics violation.
Oh.
And fine. She's going to have to pay, like, a lot of money back.
And Todd didn't get his...
Why do I suspect that she probably doesn't have it laying around the house?
Right. And Todd didn't get his reality show, as
and
we were mentioning.
And the Snow Machine show did not
get
out.
Snow Machine show.
I did not commit any ethnic violations. I like Herb Cain.
Well, I don't think there's any real way to pitch a show called Ice Road Morons.
But you write about... Because I can't believe this, but there really are. You write about the Jeb whispers. You say, make no mistake, you don't write an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal at this point in the Republican primary process unless somebody somewhere, you want to make them think you're a legitimate option. There was enough Jeb buzz over the weekend. It's becoming plain some very important someones have looked over the current Republican field and decided, by God, it's just bad enough there's room to bring back the most discredited surname in American politics. You're absolutely right.
This is becoming a live possibility. I think one of the things that indicates is that they're pretty sure Chris Christie is not going to run.
Right.
Or else it'll be his name, surfacing again.
Yeah. I mean,
probably to exhale, but
I write that you, I like that you've helpfully written Jeb's slogan for him already. Jeb, this time let's try the smart one.
That's what he's supposed to be, right? I mean, George was the sort of ne'er-do-well who really should have been baseball commissioner, by the way. He would have been a good one.
Right.
And Marvin was the one who blew up an SNL and then wound up, having Ty Hooker come mysteriously to his door.
Yes.
Without understanding how that happened. So what's left with Jeb?
But you write of his op-ed, you said the op-ed is appalling on its face, and that's not even to mention Jeb's affection for zombie-eyed granny starver Paul Ryan.
We have a new descriptive for Paul, which is going to follow him, I hope, to his grave.
Yeah, but you say that here comes Jeb declaring wealthy individuals are being punished with ruinous taxation. I mean, honestly,
name three.
I'm
sure you can find three or four who will say they are. But,
yeah,
I mean, find me their ruination.
Yeah,
show me the outward signs of their ruination.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about this new study from two historians.
Like Jamie Dimon is walking through what looks like Tara after the Yankees have been through. You know, as God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again.
Yeah,
radishes out of the ground and eating them. Raw.
We were just talking about this study from two historians. American income equality may actually be worse than it was in ancient Rome. Obviously, a society built on slave labor, defined class structure, and centuries of warfare and conquest. In the U.S. right now, the top 1% controls roughly 40% of the nation's wealth. In Rome, the top 1% control less than half that at the height of its economic power.
The difference is we already have the Visigoths within the gates. It's the Republican Congress.
Yeah, and not just that, but at this point, the Christians are on the side of the imperial power.
Right.
An odd turn of events.
But, you know, you take a look back at Jeb as governor, and you talk about the whole Terry Schiavo thing, and he played right along when, wingnut fanatics took a personal family issue and turned it into an international media circus.
Yeah.
I mean, I treat that at length in Idiot America, basically through the eyes of the people who were trying to do hospice work, and we all know what you know. If there are people who are on the fast track to heaven, it's not Michelle Bachmann; it's whoever works in hospice work.
Yeah, no,
I mean, they do such amazing stuff, and their lives were made a living hell by a bunch of nuts who Jeb Bush catered to. So no, I don't think he ever gets a pass on that one.
Yeah, I love how you end your piece. That's our Jeb. Bankers should be free to steal your pension, but husbands shouldn't be free to decide end-of-life care for their wives. By all means, roll him out there with the rest of the clowns. He'll fit right in.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think the idea that they're actually thinking about running anybody with the name Bush.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, Newt Gingrich's implosion has sort of happened on schedule, like all the other front runners, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Newt's thing is a classic case of people eating their own.
Yeah.
I mean, none of this damage was done by anybody who's a liberal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's everybody on the everybody from the alleged conservative intelligentsia to the pooflingers decided that Newt wasn't the guy.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and they really, it was really quite kind of impressive to watch the mobilization.
Yep. By the way, you have a kind of a touching Christmas wish for John Boehner. You say if John Boehner asks really nicely, will members of his caucus give him his balls back for Christmas?
Yes.
All I want for Christmas.
Isn't this the most amazing thing you've ever seen?
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine, you know, any other Speaker of the House being rolled this badly?
Yeah.
I mean, if the guy was a real Speaker of the House, the first thing he would do is he would put the votes together and fire Eric Cantor as Minority Whip.
Yeah.
And put his desk out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I've seen powerful legislative leaders operate. If Eric Cantor had done that to an actual legislative leader, you wouldn't be able to identify Eric Cantor with dental records. Lyndon Johnson would have his head up over a mantelpiece.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
I was just flipping through C-SPAN before you called.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's Nancy Pelosi getting up there going, can we please pass this thing and I'll go home for Christmas? And, no, no.
Oh, God. And you, as usual, do a nice little historical summation. One of the reasons we're in the mess we're in today is George W. Bush rammed through the tax cuts, the benefits of which accrued for the most part to the richest people in the country. He then launched two off-the-books wars, passed a Medicare entitlement that was paid for largely through the sale of magic beans, which I didn't know that that part of it, but thank you.
And what's magical about him is that doesn't happen, by the way.
And even with all of that, and even with all of official Washington having conniption fits over the deficit, their government is ripping itself apart, trying to rescind only those parts of the Bush tax cuts that benefited the richest members of society. I mean, it really is amazing.
You're welcome, America.
Well, it's what concerns me a little bit about the payroll tax cut itself, because I don't think anyone ever gives a tax cut back.
Right.
I mean, I don't think it's politically feasible for the foreseeable future to ask anybody to give a tax cut back, to rescind the tax cuts. I mean, it's not possible. There aren't the votes for it. And you've got a political opposition that's fanatic about it.
Yeah.
Any more than you can raise taxes on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Another magical Christmas moment. Happy Christmas, and to Scott Walker, good riddance. You write, various efforts to rid Wisconsin of Governor Scott Walker, goggle-eyed hormunculus, and wholly-owned subsidiary of Coach Coke Industries. So you say, without any fear of being called out for the pathetic weenies they obviously are, Wisconsin Republican Party filed suit on Thursday to challenge the decades-old procedures. This is for the counting the signatures, right?
Yeah, these are the old, straight, nice Wisconsin retired judges.
Yeah.
Who will validate the signatures. These guys look like Santa Claus with law degrees. I mean,
yeah.
They're a perfect example of how proud Wisconsin is for its tradition of progressive and clean government. It's a great system, except the Republicans don't want it to work this time.
Yeah, well, you say in its childish wanking, the state GOP is relying on previously passed childish wanking. Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're saying now that because they whined about this particular body before in a couple of senatorial elections, they should be allowed to whine about it now.
Yeah,
when it was in fact one of their ideas. But largely to take a dent out of a Democratic governor named Jim Doyle a while back. This was a very bipartisan but a very Republican inspired system that's in place that they're trying to wreck now.
Because
they'll do anything to keep this guy in office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and yet you were saying, I think it's not going to matter. They're going to end up gathering so many signatures.
Oh, they're going to wind up with north of 600,000. They're going to wind up with 700,000 signatures, I think, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, there will not be 450,000 Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Charlie Pierce, next time we talk, looking at my paper calendar, will be January 3rd.
It will be, and I will be probably be in Iowa awaiting the beginning of the caucus.
No.
It will be back today.
Is your final prediction would be Ron Paul?
you know what? I think Ron Paul's going to fizzle out just a little bit. If I had like a little bit of money to spend and didn't mind taking a little bit longer odds, I wouldn't be surprised to see Willard stumble through.
Wow.
With a miserable, like, 18% or something.
Wow. All right.
But, you know, the Paul people are on the ground there. And, you know, this is going to be a very eventful week because not only is it Christmas, but my son is getting married.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And December 28th is my birthday. So this is going to be family fun time for 10 days.
Happy birthday, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Yeah, listen, great holidays to all of you guys,
Give my love to your lovely wife.
I will do that.
All right, honey. Talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas, Charlie. Yay.
All right. Wow.
But the real story is... Will Michelle Bachman fillet another corn dog in Iowa?
Exactly. Jim, mostly on fellation watch.
You know what? January is not corn dog season in Iowa.
No.
Sorry.
They could freeze them.
Frozen something. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right.
Someone get Clarence Birdseye on that.
There we go.
Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This is my favorite Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
You can dance with a midget.
Mm-hmm. All righty. He was quoting Kim Jong-il. We don't use that word here on
midget
the
turd.
Show.
What?
We say little people.
Little people turd?
50 minutes after the hour.
I'm sure they get turd sometime.
You know, I have a feeling
like
that most
you're
people,
bound to get turd.
Our pre-vacation week is always the favorite week of the year because we're just completely
nuts,
off the rails.
Yeah.
We're off the hook, yo.
Whoa. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jerry in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Steph took the wife to see your show in Fort Lauderdale, Flexi Liberal. Hilarious. Loved it. Bravo. What a treat to speak with the Grayson. Aw, the Grayson. I wonder if the two Republicans in the audience had an epiphany. I don't know.
At Stiffany's?
No, they had an epiphany at Stiffany's.
Tiffany's.
No, I'm told I got my first walkout when I did my twat shot. Some Republicans walked out. Awesome, got your money. And gave it to Grayson for Congress. Meaner. All right, get your tickets for all the upcoming shows that are going fast, especially this one, by the way.
This is Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Fences, Chicago.
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Chicago, show me love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
So you're going to show Chicago love up in the club?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. Uh-oh, we have a stewing alert from Tony in Schaumburg. Speaking of Schaumburg. Tony in Schaumburg, Illinois. Steph, I'm at the car wash getting coffee cleaned off of the windshield, dashboard, and steering wheel of my taxi because the funniest damn thing you've ever said is I never trusted that Quaker Oats guy. Speaking
that's
of Barbara Bush.
First time she said that.
Apologize.
Been known
Sorry.
As a Quaker Oats
See,
guy
I'm helping the car wash economy.
You
See?
Are.
Yes,
mm-hmm. you are. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Yeah, here we go. Rush Limbaugh on Kim Jong II, as Rick Perry would say. Here he is.
Kim Jong-il is now Kim Jong-dead. And the news media making a big fuss over how the North Korean media and the people on the street have been weeping at the sad news.
We said
of course,
actors.
They wept in the Soviet Union when Stalin died, too. Meanwhile,
Here
Rick Perry
an Obama
and
joke.
Michelle Bachman are stupid. Rick Perry, Michelle Bachman... are dumb and stupid.
Yes.
But Kim Jong-il, mercurial, enigmatic. That's how the AP described it. The best thing he had going for him, as far as these people are concerned, was he's not a Republican.
Oh, boy.
He wasn't a conservative.
What?
Did I tell you? I said that earlier. They were turning it into, oh, Kim, liberals love him or something.
Oh, liberals admire Kim Jong-il.
Not any liberals I know.
What? I don't believe anybody has mocked Kim Jong-il as much as this show.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we treat him with reverence here, that's for sure.
Oh, sure.
You got us there,
almost
Rush.
Almost as much as we do Rush Limbaugh. Yeah.
Yes.
No, we don't get any cards and letters about
Kim Jong-il.
The way we treat Kim Jong-il.
Now he's dead. I didn't know he was ill, see?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Mary Madeline in the Situation Room.
The House passed the payroll extension for a year. They added the Keystone Pipeline. They completely bested Obama. There's a dysfunctional Senate that passed it for 2 months, which cannot even be implemented. So the House is the bit, and John Boehner in particular, the big victors in this latest skirmish.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Yes, the American people will send him a great big Christmas card. Thank you for raising our taxes. Okay, Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends.
Killing the Keystone Pipeline with thousands of jobs on the line. Is the president making a bad business decision to please environmentalists? We'll see what Donald Trump thinks about that.
I can't wait.
Yeah, wait for this.
I can't imagine what he'll think.
Yeah, environmentalists. They're worried about that Oglala aquifer being poisoned that's only responsible for drinking water in 7 states.
Yeah.
Come
Donald
on.
Trump, who thinks we ought to take Iraq's oil before we go and thinks we ought to bomb Iran and take their oil.
Yeah, yeah, that's reasonable.
Sure. Okay. Oh, and also Libya. Didn't he think we should have taken their oil? Yeah. Okay.
All of the world's oil is ours.
We
Why don't we just take
Libya
it all?
And all the other countries there that got oil and just bomb them.
Or, if he's listening to Sarah Palin's advice, North Korea, where apparently we get most of our oil.
That's why we need energy independence.
Yeah,
protect us from the rockets and the bombs.
Okay, Greg Gutfeld and Eric Bowling on the 5 on the big Nikki Haley endorsement.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
South Carolina. Governor, excuse me, allegedly.
Haley?
Yeah, I think she...
I think it was a hot people deal. She's good looking, and she just went to Romney because he's good looking. Makes me sick to my stomach, not being
and
as
you
hot
would know.
As he.
You look at her every day.
Before we go, speaking of hot people, before we go, Sarah Palin has left the door open to run.
Love
I spoke to
Sarah
her today. Just has to get out there.
Speaking of hot people, Sarah Palin has opened the door to run. Wow. Who's called Sarah Palin hot?
I don't know, but that's a show with depth. I got to say
yeah,
that's.
Wow.
She's pretty. I went to her for president.
Boy, Governor Nikki Haley. That's almost as good an endorsement as Witchy Poo.
Rush Limbaugh took again.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You remember the top story for 2010? You know what it was? Just a year ago. See, this is how much this stuff is really worth. Nobody remembers what the AP top story of 2010 was. Snurdly's in there racking his brain now trying to remember what it was. It was the BP oil spill. The BP oil spill 1 year ago was AP's number one story of the year, which, of course, ended up being a non-story.
What? A non-story?
A non-story?
The poisoning of the Gulf is a non-story?
Tell that to the Gulf states.
Yeah, I'm dumpster diving, sorry.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Nothing. I love that. He said this many times, that was a complete non-story. Nothing happened there.
It's still leaking oil into the Gulf.
Yeah.
It's coming up out of the ground now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thanks to their crappy cementing job, among other things.
Yes, by Halliburton and BP. Yes.
Have you seen the ads promoting?
Yes, I have.
At the Gulf,
those are offensive.
Go water skiing and swimming and scuba diving.
Drink right from the Gulf. It's safe.
Don't mind the rotting dolphin carcasses. And it's promoted by.
BP.
BP. Because they have, don't they have the magical, it's like the, look at these green things and spinning things and windmills and things.
Fun.
And
come to the Gulf.
Unicorns and leprechauns.
Have some poison shrimp.
Yeah, way to remind us who caused all of that mess, BP.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look at the unicorns that fart glitter. Look. It's all good. It's all green. All right, 58. Oh, I found it. I want Jim to read the actual Sarah Palin quote again.
My friend.
That's where you're dumping.
Yeah. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, Stephanie Miller on Facebook, Stephanie Miller Show on Twitter as well. Check it out, SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal Facebook and Twitter as well. Go to iTunes or Amazon, buy the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1. Sorry, I forgot the name of it. We have the number one album in the country. Thank you, everybody. Mama loves you. It's a gift that keeps on giving for Chris Mahana Kwanzaa or whatever. Yep. Do it. Get it. And that was another Chris Mahana Kwanzaa gift to you. Here is an actual Sarah Palin quote.
You know, my endorsement is going to be with sincerity and enthusiasm, and I'm just not there yet with the field as it stands. There is no need to endorse until that enthusiasm really is within my gut, in my gut, and also I believe that my endorsement and anybody else's really sometimes doesn't amount to a hill of beans. When you consider the independent thinking and the wisdom of the voters, that they make up their own mind, and personal endorsement doesn't always, you know, it helps shape the race, so I don't put that kind of credence or credibility in my endorsement at all. But as soon as I feel that that person who understands the fiscal crisis, especially that America faces, and know what has to do about, then I will feel that enthusiasm and I will endorse, but I'm not ready yet.
Someone helpfully tried to put in some punctuation there, but it is pointless. Uh-huh. There's no...
Rather than subject you to the actual soundbite, which is, you know, some guy, you remember, he called when we played, used to play a lot of Sarah Palin soundbites and said, I think my balls just hit the back of my throat.
Yeah.
So we've tried to subject you to less of that.
Well, that'll protect you from Katherine Heigl, at least.
But that was an actual, the actual word salad we've been missing.
I don't understand how she got elected to an office.
Unbelievable.
Just gobbledygook. All right. Oh, speaking of asshat Republicans that just compared the boner to William Wallace Braveheart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ernest writes, wasn't William Wallace fighting against the wealthy privileged
brokers
who took whatever they wanted? Yes. You are the smartest point.
I'm going to be disemboweled by little people. I don't like the way this is going.
Yeah,
this is
like,
worse than the tavern.
Didn't end well for William Wallace, by the way.
They FYI. May take your life, but they'll never take your freedom.
All right. Speaking of the fight in Washington, our good friend Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California joins us. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm, you know, probably better than you in that I don't have to deal with John Boehner every day. This is, I know we shouldn't be surprised, but so now where are we at with the payroll tax extension?
Well, it's actually fascinating. We are literally on the floor voting right now, and the Republicans under Boehner's leadership does not want to put the Senate bill up for a vote, and it's our opinion that he doesn't want to put it up for a vote because he's afraid that too many of his members will vote and the Senate bill will actually pass.
Yeah. Well, that's what Nancy Pelosi said as well yesterday. So now what's going to happen?
Well, you know, they are saying that we're getting ready to adjourn, and maybe they'll bring us back next week. It's really not clear. And so what we're voting on today is the Republicans, since they don't want to put up the bill directly, they've come up with something in the middle that, frankly, is a little mushy. So here's what it says. It says that we think that we need to go to conference, that the Senate needs to appoint two people, the House needs to appoint a couple of folks, and we go into conference and renegotiate for an extension of unemployment and the payroll tax for an entire year. So that's their way of voting against it without really putting their members up to vote down the Senate measure. The other thing we're voting on later on today is to reaffirm the vote for the House version of the unemployment extension and the payroll extension that the Senate Republicans said that they would not vote for it last week. And in their bill that passed out of the House last week, it calls for reducing the number of weeks that an individual could receive unemployment, and it calls for ridiculous measures that have nothing to do with unemployment, like saying that people who want an unemployment check have to have a drug test first or they have to enroll in a GED program. That's what they want us to vote on later on today.
Oh, God. I mean, I have to say the one thing I do agree on is this really is a ridiculous way to govern in, like, just even 2-month increments. I mean, as the president said, you know, it just, we have this drama every single time. And you know, and now we've kicked the can down the road. It just, it seems like it just is becoming impossible to govern in Washington.
Well, I think it's really important to look at what the Tea Party is doing and why they're doing it. First of all, we need to be clear that the Tea Party has taken over the Republican caucus. We also need to be clear that the Republicans really don't believe in unemployment insurance. And in fact, some of the things that are coming out of their mouths are, if you give somebody an unemployment check, that's a disincentive for them to work. It makes them lazy, in other words. So if you basically don't agree with unemployment insurance, then why would you want to extend it beyond 99 weeks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly true. It's the same talking point we hear every time, that, oh, it makes people lazy and blah, blah, blah. I mean, but we were just looking. I think there were statistics on CNN that we've been reading this morning. I mean, there's going to be real impact on the economy and on people if this isn't passed, isn't there?
Well, 160 million Americans are going to face a $1,000 tax hike. 22 million Americans will lose their unemployment insurance. And then there's also another part of it. 48 million seniors could lose their access to doctors. And the reason for that is because in the bill, we need to prevent a cut that doctors receive from Medicare. Because if doctors are not paid to treat seniors who are on Medicare, they're just not going to treat them.
Yeah.
And so those are the three things that are absolutely at risk. And then any economist says that a way to inject stimulus into the economy is unemployment insurance, because that's money that is spent right away. And an average unemployment check is only $1,200 a month. I frankly don't even understand how people can survive with $1,200 a month, let alone that's a disincentive for someone wanting a job.
Yeah.
Very
no.
insulting.
Yeah, absolutely. Representative, before you go, I read your statement on Iraq. I thought at least, you know, we're ending the year with one hopeful thing, and that is, you know, as you say, that today marks the end of a historic commitment made by President Obama to responsibly end the war in Iraq, a promise he made from his first day in office. You know, I just had a right-wing caller call and say, what has Obama accomplished? You know, it's like, you almost think, where'd he start? You know, rescued the auto industry, saved the, you know, us from the next Great Depression, got us out of Iraq, overturned Don't Ask, Don't Tell, got health care done. I mean, you know, what do you even say at this point?
Exactly. No, I think that you're absolutely right. He made that promise. It was a promise made, a promise kept, and I'm so happy for the families, the Christmas that they will have with their loved ones returning home.
I know, Congresswoman, that's when you think you could have one bipartisan moment as Americans, wouldn't you, that we are finally out of this awful war we clearly should never have been in the first place, and they still had to criticize the president. Oh, we should have left more troops in. I mean,
well, it reminded me of when the announcement was made about bin Laden being taken out, that actually it was Bush that had made that accomplishment.
Sure. Yes. Well, I think we can all see that. All right. Representative Karen Bass of my home state out here, the great state of California. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
Talk to you again soon. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We like her.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Say it, Jim.
Hmm? That's terrific.
That's terrific, Bass.
Okay. Thank you.
I was searching my mind for ancient Saturday Night Live punchlines in there.
Yeah, exactly. Who is this? Oh, it's from Keisha in Chicago. Hi, Ms. Miller. I listen to
or
your show.
Is it Kesha?
No. Who knows?
I doubt it's the Kesha.
No, it's Keisha.
Kesha's not up this early.
Ever.
I listen to your show every morning after I drop my mixed race kids off at their Obamaland preschools. I live in Obama Ground Zero, Hyde Park, Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I adore your show. I have abandoned the boring leftists on my Chicago NPR station. Good girl. More fart jokes. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
For my commute to work, you guys are crazy smart, unbelievably hilarious. Thank you. Anyway, I write a blog called Mom's New Stage, a mom blog. Stop wincing, please.
She saw you.
It's a smart one dedicated to liberal artist moms with a sense of humor. Lately, I've started to stick it to the Christian right mommy bloggers who are offended by my very irreverent and caustic sense of humor.
Oh,
how
yeah.
delightful that is. Please excuse me while I go have an arugula salad and a crisp Sauvignon Blanc. I've got two little kids, and I'm lucky I managed to leave the house with my underwear inside my pants. Keisha. God love
you. Yeah, you know what? The right-wing evangelicals on Twitter are just so fun to tweak. Oh, just you know,
one Christian mom wrote her that her Christian husband wrote her a haiku about how when he looks in her heart, he sees God.
Oh my!
Really?
God.
Okay.
Does that pass
right,
as poetry?
Not judge. Let's not judge.
No, I'm going to judge here. Does that pass for poetry?
I just wonder what a Christian haiku is like. I don't. Okay, Jim.
Well, first of all, haiku is Buddhist. So that they're right there.
You know, the Republican field has all the real Christians, as you know. Who said, I think we can safely assume that 95% of the black males in that city are semi-criminal or entirely criminal?
Adolf Hitler.
No, that was Ron Paul on Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
Wasn't that their Ron Paul newsletter?
Wow. Dr. Ron Paul to you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Don't you forget it.
Who said on the L.A. riots, order was only restored in L.A. when it came time for the blacks to pick up their welfare checks 3 days after rioting began?
Dr. Mengele. Wrong doctor?
It's from the Ron Paul newsletter, which apparently he had nothing to do with,
no.
According to Ron Paul defenders. All right.
Just because it has his name on it. Yes, name and picture on it. It was just the clinkety-dink.
Exactly. Didn't reflect his views.
No, not at all.
Just like the Stephanie Miller Show reflects none of my views.
It was actually Mrs. Paul and her fascist sticks.
Yes, you're just a figurehead here, Stephanie.
I'm a figurehead here. Yeah. I can't be held responsible. I do the show drunk. Bob is a tea partier in Arkansas who loves our show. There's some breaking news. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I tell you what, you guys are absolutely... I laugh. I love your show.
Thank you, Bob.
Not the thing about it is I don't agree with you 99... kind of like Ivory Soap, 99.400%.
You only agree with the 1% of my show.
Right, but I tell you what, you guys are funny. You got good satire. And the people around you, you know, the people around you make your show.
Buddy. Yeah, well, that's
and you guys
clear.
Are just funny, and I listen to your show, and you make me feel good.
Oh, Bob, I love you back. Thanks so much.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
All right, thank you, and thanks for pointing out that I'm the dead weight on my own show. Merry friggin' Christmas wants good of you.
Yeah. That's good that we make him feel good.
Whatever. 18 minutes. 18 minutes after the hour.
As long as the liberals are out there making fart jokes and ignoring what's going on.
It makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
Okay. When we come back, your neti pot can kill you.
Ooh. What? Wait. Didn't listeners suggest you get a neti pot like a few months ago?
Yeah. Right.
They're trying to kill you.
Yeah.
They know you're only the figurehead here.
You tried to smoke your neti pot. Then that was
Mr. Potter, the guy that owns the show, suggested it to me.
Neti Potter.
Oh, why, thank you. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
More of that heavy metal music.
My is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour.
It's got guitars in it. So I don't know.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. How many of these emails? We have a spewing report already, and now another subject line. Damn you, Ward!
Uh-oh.
Tim in Richmond writes, Steph, please don't let Jim do Kim Jong-il bits while I'm shaping.
Oh. Ow.
Ouch.
I cut my neck on spinners on my train wheels and my lip on reverse layup. Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize.
Reverse layup. I got spinner on my wheel on my train.
We apologize. Once again. You better use a neti pot to get to...
No. I saw this story yesterday. It was completely grossed out.
Yikes! Another horrible neti pot tragedy. Two dead in Louisiana after unclean water used in neti pots caused amoebas to eat their brain.
Ew. I blame Oprah.
Right?
But the neti pot comes from India.
Yeah,
the most sanitary place on earth. What could possibly go wrong, you know? Just take water from the Ganges and put it up your nose.
I've seen the Ganges on fire.
Don't put water from the Ganges up your nose. Stop it.
Gak.
Yeah,
or whatever gak is in Hindi.
Back to your mom's advice. Stop putting things in your nose. Just stop it.
Why would anybody want to put water up there voluntarily?
It's like waterboarding yourself.
See, you think your life is bad in this economy. You know, lost your job, your house. At least an amoeba didn't eat your brain.
Well,
so far.
Yeah.
Louisiana health officials are warning residents not to use non-sterilized tap water in neti pots after the deaths of two people who exposed their brains to a deadly amoeba while flushing out their nasal.
Maybe that's what happened to Rick Perry.
Yes, amoebas ate his brain.
Yes, that could be. And so we offer sympathy instead of scorn.
And we offer.
It's the part of the brain that allows you to realize it's Kim Jong-il, not Kim Jong the Second. Or, alternatively...
You are an idiot!
However, if amoebas ate your brains, we apologize.
We offer our apologies and purified water.
Amoebas ate my, forget. Forget.
All right. You know what? I have more future husbands than I know what to do with. So I'm going to give this one to Lindsay Lohan. DUI suspect passes out at sentencing, police say. A Nebraska man convicted a third time for drunk driving could be in even more trouble showing up drunk at his sentencing. He passed out when he was wheeled into the courtroom on Friday after being found in the courthouse parking lot.
Oh, boy.
A sheriff's deputy was able to administer a blood alcohol test before Harris passed out. It showed his blood alcohol content at more than four times the legal driving.
Ooh, yikes.
I think his lawyer went over that with him as well.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, do not show up drunk to the sentencing. Oh, no, look what you did. Okay.
Do not have anything to drink before.
Okay, what did I say?
Before you, not a drop.
What did I say? You must be conscious at your hearing.
I don't remember. Who are you?
All right. Oh, Gawker writing, Newt Gingrich's collapse, arrives ahead of schedule, frankly. Perfect. A little bit ahead of schedule. Gawker writing, all right, it was cute when Republican base trolled us with the Trump, Bachman, Perry, Kane surges and collapses, but throwing Newt Gingrich into the heap of other Potemkin candidates after he was leading by 20 points everywhere like a week ago this late in the process is cruel.
Frankly.
This is, you know what, I've slowly lost my comedy binkies. I've never had one had ripped from me so cruelly as Newt Gingrich.
Frankly.
Oh. Some of us here had just begun to think we might see a Newt Gingrich presidential nomination in 2012, the sort of enjoyable nightmare you witness only in the best Hollywood pictures. But now they all hate him again.
Frankly,
public policy polling, which finds Gingrich in third place in Iowa after he held a consensus double-digit lead there about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Gingrich has now seen a big drop in his Iowa standing 2 weeks in a row. His share of the vote has gone from 27% to 22% to 14%. There's been a large drop in his personal favorability numbers as well, from plus 31 to plus 12 to now a negative.
Well, of course, you know, when I become president, I'm calling in an airstrike on Iowa, frankly.
Apparently. Nationally, the Gallup tracking poll shows Gingrich dropping 10-ish percentage points for his peak from about 10 days ago. Gawker writing, it seems like the most severe of his many fatal problems, that he's an insane mother... that makes Richard Nixon's production values look award-worthy. Maybe isn't something he's working on improving. No, he's doubling down like crazy like this.
And here's the question. Are judges above the law?
No, you need to arrest them.
Are judges in a position where they dictate to the president and they dictate to the Congress? And the Founding Fathers answered it very clearly. Alexander Hamilton writes in the Federalist Papers, the judicial branch is the weakest of the three branches and would never pick a fight with the president and the Congress because it would inevitably lose it. Yet since 1958, the court has said, we are supreme. We're the last word. That's baloney.
Aren't they three equal branches?
That's
of
the idea.
Yeah. So what does he mean that the judicial is the weakest branch?
Frankly, I'm going to call it an airstrike on the Supreme Court.
Gawker has done their own statistical analysis, and they say you can't pin the blame here on one stupid demographic, but it's old people's fault. When Gingrich was around 40% of polls everywhere, his boost came largely from seniors, the ones who would be most likely to remember his catastrophic tenure as House Speaker, and yet they didn't, because now after just a few basic attack ads raising approximately 0.00000001% of the terrible public information about Newt Gingrich, he's in a free fall. What the hell, Gramps? Read a magazine or something.
Yeah. Gingrich is complaining
about. They just
about.
Now are like, huh? Oh, that guy.
That guy?
Huh?
Oh, no. I never should have bought that neti pot.
That's what it is. Too many old people in Iowa using neti pots.
Yeah.
That's what his whole surge was about. Damn it. 29 minutes after, they're so unreliable. 29
damn amoebas.
29 minutes after the hour, back with Aaron Brockovich next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Santa Claus don't drink. Oh, no? Well, how come he's always falling down chimneys?
It is the Stephanie Miller.
That sounded like William Frawley.
It did. I was about ready to say it. It sounded like Fred Mertz.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, speaking of Fred's, Mark says, Steph, North Korean agents reportedly tried to kidnap Fred McMurray so he could iron flubber onto Kim Jong-un's basketball sneakers, thereby giving him super jumping powers. I didn't know that. I thought I knew all the fun facts about our new dear leader.
Why can't I get flubber? Damn you, Fred McMurray.
You selected flubber.
You've selected flubber. That's
there was,
the original
there
flubber.
Was a period. Every time I tried to order a movie, I always selected flubber,
that's
which
right.
was really unintentional.
But that was the later one with Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Also, Tim, with some comments on Sarah Palin's word salad on Fox, we had Jim read the actual word salad.
Yeah.
Steph, can you see the poor closed caption typist trying to keep up with her? By the end of her segment, that poor soul must be a mass of quivering, sobbing flesh.
What? I don't... What?
It's not. He's...
That's
no,
not even English.
It's not even a sentence. And I don't... Is there punctuation? Why doesn't... Is there... Huh?
And how do you spell Phil?
I don't... Chris and Yankton...
You mean feel? I don't know. I can't tell...
We should send her a holiday gift. We really should. We are so sorry. Chris and Yankton writes, trying to punctuate Sarah Palin's verbal diarrhea is pointless. You could fling a random handful of commas at the page and be just as accurate.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Oh, yubbins. All right. Let's see. So we've been talking about poor Nudie. Poor Nudie and his plummeting numbers.
Frankly, watch TV here for 2 days. You've had all sorts of people and all sorts of these super PACs who have consistently been running negative ads. Well, you get enough negative ads before you start answering them, your numbers go down for a while.
Wow, or, he's kind of whining.
Or if you're the nastiest bastard that's ever lived in the history of American politics.
I hate negativity in campaigns, frankly.
He's a bit of a whiner, isn't he?
I want to sit in the front of the plane!
He'll just show up in a big diaper in Iowa next time. Get another picture. All right. We have talked to Aaron before. Aaron Brockovich, not Julia Roberts, the actual Aaron Brockovich.
Right.
It's much more impressive, I think, to know the real person. Like somebody said, oh, my God, do you know, what's her name, Naomi?
Naomi.
I'm like, no, the actual Valerie Plame. I know the actual people. All right. And Aaron Brockovich, also hotter than the person that played her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich, who has a new book out called Hot Water. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, it's nice to speak to you.
Well, we were saying this is timely, too, in the sense that there is so much, you know, environmental stuff happening in the news. And, you know, this has been your crusade for how long now?
Oh, my gosh. You really want me to date myself?
Yes. Yes.
I've been doing this since I started in Hinckley back in 1991, and it's 2011, so what, 20-some plus years?
Wow.
Yeah.
I love your press release. Aaron continues to battle corporations. As you know, Mitt Romney tells us, corporations are people, my friends.
Well, okay. Well, you know, listen, if they are, then they need to be a little more neighborly and a little more friendly. And, you know, he brings up an interesting point, and I see this happening all the time after 20-some years. Companies don't have to vilify themselves, and they live in communities and well. And don't think that communities want jobs to go away. They don't. But they don't want to be poisoned either.
Right.
So I think that there needs to be a process that has got to begin of transparency and trust building between corporations that exist within our communities, that are our neighbor, that is our friend, and start building a relationship that's trustworthy and one that is protective and safe and good for all.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the points you make, well, first of all, you say the numbers are staggering when it comes to illness that can be directly attributed to environmental contamination. But, you know, part of the problem is it's invisible.
These
toxins.
It is, and people oftentimes don't know that they have a problem until either everybody in the community is reporting that they're sick, or just by chance someone catches it, and then they suddenly find out. I just had a woman come to me from the Topak, California area, who just retired and moved out there and got some notification that they had a groundwater contamination problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then she finds out at the Ladies Rotary Club that it's chromium 6 coming from PG&E that's less than a half a mile away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is she was the secretary to one of the defense counsels that represented PG&E in the Hinckley case.
Wow.
And
talk about a small world, and she had no idea when she moved out there that there was any kind of groundwater contamination. So oftentimes people don't know.
Right.
And that's what's very concerning, and I see this happening all the time. See, I'm seeing more and more and more communities come to me now reporting, we find it odd that there's 10 kids on the same block with cancer, or, you know, we're noticing all this excess lupus or fibromyalgia or autoimmune diseases amongst women in the community, and 9 times out of 10, they're sitting on some, you know, environmental problem. And what's happening is the time has come where that environmental time has gone on long enough that we're starting to see potentially a real disease process.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, as you say, it can be in the water, in the air, in the soil. I mean, we've been doing the Sexy Liberal Tour, and one of the first causes we gave to was anti-fracking in upstate New York,
yeah.
Which is a big issue. What's your take on that?
Well, fracking is a big issue. I'm getting just droves of people reporting from upstate New York and Pennsylvania and Texas and Oklahoma, now Colorado, clearly up in North Dakota where they've hit a lot of natural gas. And it is a problem. We are on the verge of a water crisis here anyway. But we also have the technology and the science and the capability to prevent future damage, clean up what we've done. And so when we frack, a lot of people at a local level are stopping the fracking because they don't want it. And they're on well water, and it does contaminate water.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not a scientist, Aaron. It doesn't seem like your tap water should be able to be lit on fire. That's
no,
just my amateur opinion.
You know, that's my common sense working for me as well. You know, when I see green water, I'm like, I just don't think I'm going to drink that. And if I can set my water on fire, I just don't think I want to drink that.
Yeah. And there's all these smug commercials on TV. Oh, it's completely safe. Don't believe those crazy hippies.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Water. It can't catch fire.
I don't. Yeah, it's not. And I think that, you know, we've made water. And I don't say we pointing fingers at anyone. Just somehow, some way, water has become this political issue, and it can't be. It's an American issue.
Well,
it's
now
a people issue.
Now that you brought up politics, let me drag you down in the partisan muck with me. but you know, I have to say, politically, it seems to me in every way, but certainly environmentally, it seems like there couldn't be a clearer difference between the parties right now. Could there? I mean, you have this Republican primary, pretty much all of the presidential candidates, they believe in sort of no regulation of any kind. Anything that might impede in corporations in any way, right?
Well, that was, you know what? You know, they'd be the first ones, if something came towards them that they didn't like, that someone else had to say, they'd tell you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we all know we can't do that. And we cannot and we will not become a lawless society. We're going to, listen, the EPA definitely has some problems. They really do. We've got, 2,500 Superfund sites that no one can clean up because they're overburdened, they're understaffed, they're stopped at every corner. We've got to find different ways to revamp. Maybe we should scale back on some agencies, but you can't get rid of them all, and you have to revamp those that are having problems so that they can be and have better oversight of what's going on. So to just make a broad statement to throw the EPA away is clearly a mistake, and that's part of the problem that we're having with politics right now. It's one way or the highway. Mm-hmm. It's my way or no way. And we're so polarized, nothing's working. And
yeah.
Listen, I'm from a Republican family. I
Me
was
too.
Born and raised in Kansas. I have a dad that worked for industry. Do you know that many of our presidents that were Republicans implemented some terrific environmental laws?
Absolutely.
Conservative and conservation.
Yeah, well, Aaron, I don't know if you know, my dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater, and this has been, you know, part of my point as I've been in this, you know, arena for so long, is that it's this Republican Party that has moved so far to the right. You're absolutely right. I mean, Nixon, people like that would be considered crazy environmentalists, I mean, today in the Republican Party. I mean, that's...
It absolutely would, and I believe he was the very one that signed the Clean Water Bill,
mm-hmm.
correct? The Clean Water Act.
Yeah.
Roosevelt did a great service to us on the national forest issues and that conservation, so conservative and conservation, they go together. And I don't know what's happened to the party, but it's really moved away.
Yep.
And I still think that Republican Party, I'm from a family like that. My dad worked for industry. He's the very one that taught me the value of water.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important to them as well.
Speaking of water, thank you for the segue. Let's talk about hot water, your new book. Well, I think it's fascinating. It's the second in a series, soon to be a network TV show. You label them cause novels,
yeah.
Which I think is a really, you know, it's fiction, but it's a really fun way for people to learn about these kind of issues.
Absolutely, and that's exactly why we did it. You all know as well as I do, waking up every day and this world has another problem. It becomes too much. We can't save it. We throw our hands up, we walk away, and we don't get involved. And by able to escape and read a book for a while and close that book and go, wow, you know, that was really interesting, and I'm wondering if that is truly going on, it's happening in my backyard, what can I do to know more, and how can I get involved and help? And that's what I'm hoping it will do.
Who now, and who is the fictional...
AJ.
AJ.
AJ Palladino. Well, I love her.
We're out here in Hollywood. Who's going to play her, more importantly?
You know what? Somebody else asked me that. I'm as stumped as when everyone asked me, who do you think should play in the film? I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, But you know,
Ed and I always had a joke because he'd ask me who I thought should play me, and I said, I don't know, somebody fun, maybe Goldie Hawn, and he always said, no, I was thinking more along the lines of Roseanne Barr. I'm like, thanks, Ed. That's just because, you know, she can be mouthy and so can I, but I have to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. The new book is Hot Water, and thanks for all the good work you continue to do. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on. I hope I get to come on and talk to you again.
Absolutely. Thanks,
okay,
Aaron.
Thanks.
There she goes. Erin Brockovich.
Yeah.
The woman, the movie.
Love her. Always love her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't you love the people getting offended? What? Ed Asner would play me? What? All right.
I hate hexavalent chromium.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on 2012 and a Scosh celebrity sack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, it was terrible. Hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She does a good Stephanie Miller impersonation.
Yes, she does. Not since she watched in horror the tape of my singing. I need a lover.
With the Lobster Band.
Yes. Let me see about Rotsa. So I was a rock jock, everybody. I knew it wouldn't take too long. Here we go. We got a first hate letter from Stop the Slander of Ron Paul. He had nothing to do with those racist comments in the Ron Paul newsletter.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Well, then why was his name and picture on it? Why was it sent out in his name?
Yeah.
Megan in Asheville, North Carolina, on Erin Brockovich. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. I always get so nervous the second you guys put me on.
Oh, my God. Me too.
But I just want to tell you that I'm 37. I'm on disability because I've had a lot of health problems, and I'm completely convinced it's related to all the crap in the environment.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm very successful when I'm not sick. I'm a photographer and used to be an archaeologist.
Wow.
But I've been battling endometriosis and Graves' disease, Lyme's disease, fibromyalgia,
right.
You name it.
Wow. Megan, what do you suspect environmentally is going on near where you live?
You know, it's hard to say. They say we all have our bucket, our individual bucket that gets filled with toxins in the environment. And when that bucket starts to overflow is when people start to have that disease process that Ms. Brockovich mentioned. And so I can't say specifically, but I did live in New Jersey for a good part of my life.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
That's called the armpit. I hate to say that, but
yeah. Well, I know. That's why I appreciate the work that Erin does. We need more like her.
Absolutely.
Anyway, and good luck and good health. I hope over
Thank
the
you.
Holidays.
And real quick, dioxin is the one chemical that's been linked in laboratory studies to endometriosis.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, wow. Wow.
The one that's been confirmed for me in my situation.
Would you like to be the former, what do we call it, the past archaeologist of the Stephanie Miller Show?
What's that?
Would you like to be the retired archaeologist?
Former archaeologist?
Yes.
I am, but now I'm an activist photographer. So if you guys ever need somebody to document the shit that's going on.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, dear.
Boy. Second time today.
Wow. Two S-bombs today. Okay. She used to be an archaeologist. That's ancient history now.
Hey!
You got it! Margin.
Really?
Really?
When will people stop saying bleep?
Stop saying the S-word on the show. We were having a lovely conversation before you went all loading duck on
so
my ass.
So bleepy of you.
That was really... Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nudie.
Perfect. I really wish they would have the courage to be positive.
And I wish they would have the courage to have a campaign in which we've matched ideas. We didn't see whose consultant could be the nastier or whose consultant could run the more clever, destructive ad.
Yeah, I really wish they would have the courage to be positive, like me, all my life.
Now, a warning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I know. It's like, you know, he's like the kid that played the nastiest altar school, and then he suddenly go, okay, what, you guys are playing all dirty now.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As we've talked about his plummeting ratings, the National Gallup poll, he has the backing of 26% of Republican voters, down from 37%. It's how quickly it's happened, right?
That's right.
Yeah. He talked about Mitt Romney talking about Tea Partiers.
I think as Tea Partiers concentrate on that, for instance, they'll say, wow,
Freddie
this
Mac
really isn't the guy that would represent our views.
But I am. I'm the guy who represents everyone's views. whatever view you want me to espouse, I will.
Any moment of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you think, I think, no matter who you are. Yeah, did you see Nudie's latest explanation? He said we should have had a much more coherent answer to the whole Freddie Mac.
Yeah.
He then offered his latest explanation that his firm was hired over a period of 6 years for advice, and he earned about $35,000 a year, less than I got for speech. You know, he needs to shut up, because he just seems more and more 1%-y. Altogether, his firm did earn $1.6 million from Freddie Mac, which is what was reported, but he was trying to say, but not all,
yes, but not all at once.
All at once. It's like when those sports stars get like $500 million contracts, and they're like, oh, well, that's over.
Sure, I killed
4 years.
People, but not at the same time.
Guy.
It took me years to kill all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, just burying the bodies took up a...
What did I say?
Should I not have said that?
By the way, Romney joined those criticizing Gingrich's comments on judges, saying that it is neither practical nor constitutional.
Yeah. Oh, that. When has that ever mattered?
Well, poor Rick Perry. Is he still in it? He said the Wall Street bailout is the single biggest act of theft in American history, and you know Newt and Mitt, they were both for it.
Oh, boy.
And I believe Kim Jong II was as well.
This Wall Street bailout is the single biggest act of theft in American history.
Mm.
And, you know, and Newt and Mitt, they both were for it.
Mm. Oh, little dumber boy.
I might have been for it, too, but I forgot.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Amoebas ate his brain.
So after doing an anti-gay ad in Heath Ledger's jacket from Brokeback Mountain,
yeah,
and the rumors swirling again about him in Texas,
yeah,
he had this to say.
Here's my issue. This is about my faith. And I happen to think that, you know, there are a whole host of sins, homosexuality being one of them. And I don't agree that openly gays should be serving in the military. I hate the sin, but I love the sinner. But having them openly serve in the military, I happen to think, as the commander-in-chief of some 20,000-plus people in the military, is not good public policy. And this president was forced by his base to change that policy. And I don't think it was good policy, and I don't think the people in the military thought it was good policy.
Was he at a rave? I think he was at a rave.
A country rave.
He sounds like he's on poppers.
Yeah.
Did he say openly gays?
Openly gays.
I believe
gays.
He did. I don't believe openly gays.
Should serve in the military.
Should serve in the military.
Should be closedly gays. In
Oh, the speaking of awkward.
Oh, yeah,
a rally attendee, Michelle and Marcus Bachman.
I wonder also if you're aware that 10% of the population is gay. And if you have 28 children, 2.8 of those kids are very likely gay.
Go ahead.
Hi. What's your name? She's not listening to
me. John. Well, that's according to the Kinsey report.
Your facts are wrong. Nice to meet you.
That's not valid.
No, it's not at all. It's been a myth for many years.
Marcus! Nice to meet you. It's been a myth for many years.
Mark, was that Marcus hissing at her?
That was Marcus hissing.
Oh, that's
just so. Oh, that's my God.
It's been a myth
that's
for many years.
Ridiculous.
That is a statistical anomaly.
Oh,
that's been
my
proven
God.
So many times.
Thank you, God, for the continuing nuggets of comedy gold that the Bachmans give us.
Bless her heart. I mean, his heart.
Okay, Ron Paul.
I would like to restore your right to drink raw milk anytime you wanted to.
Unless you're
black. That got a huge applause.
Yeah.
What?
Raw milk! Yeah!
Whoa! Yeah!
God, Paul supporters are weird. Oh, my God.
Bachman said Ron Paul would be a dangerous president. He would have us ignore all the warning signs. Another brutal dictator who wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
What?
I won't. The death of Kim Jong-il.
Huh?
I don't think he had any thoughts on Israel.
No.
reminds us we live in a dangerous world.
I can't even pronounce Israel.
You are an idiot!
Sarah Palin said we got it because we got all our oil from him.
All our oil up there in North Korea land.
The two. Okay. Wow, I'm winded from today's show.
I can see Canada from his house.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.